Our scripture lesson today is from Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38. Hear the word of God. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Cindy, for reading our scripture today so we might hear God's word. In this sermon series, in this journey of Lent, we begin here in this next 40 days. The challenge for us as individuals and the church is to look at the radical, extreme characteristics that Jesus embodies, and then we're to put them into practice. The Gospel of Matthew invites us, the church, to journey through this story with the disciples. As a faithful disciple, one must imitate Jesus. Disciples not only proclaim the realm of heaven, but they demonstrate its nature in the world. We, the church, filled with Christ's faithful disciples today, we are called to do the same. Our scripture passage that was shared says that Jesus looked out at the crowds and was moved with compassion. These people were like sheep without a shepherd, and they tugged at Jesus' heartstring. I believe that Matthew's gospel addresses the church more directly than some of the other gospels and challenges who we are as disciples today. Do we look at others through compassionate eyes the way Jesus did? Maybe instead of preaching, we should instead spread the gospel by joining others in dressing the brokenhearted in this world, those who struggle for meaning, those who seem hopeless. The world sometimes shatters us. And so sometimes we just need someone to walk alongside us. I wonder, are we truly moved with compassion like Christ was? Do we see Jesus in those that we encounter each day at work, at school, in our neighborhoods, and those random places that we go every day, like the Walmart shopping line? With that in mind, let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts in this time and in this space be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Give us the courage to be your compassionate, faithful disciples in this world. And all God's children said, amen. Martin Luther King Jr., he penned what I believe is one of the most prophetic calls to the church from the Birmingham jail. He wrote, "If today's church does not recapture the sacrificial, compassionate spirit of the early church, it's going to lose its authenticity. It's going to forfeit its loyalty of millions and be dismissed as an irrelevant social club with no meaning." Christ showed us as faithful disciples that our public witness should be a life that's lived with this convictional compassion, this compassionate, sacrificial spirit that today's world so desperately needs. I don't know about you, but I find that it's really difficult to live into the extreme compassion of Jesus that Jesus modeled for us. When we look for the Jesus in those that we encounter, we model what it means to live a life consistent with the gospel. When we acknowledge the Jesus in me sees the Jesus in you, it's easier to begin to look at each other through the eyes of love, to be compassionate for those who are on the margins in our society. Compassion, it challenges us to do the will of God come what may. So do we live like that? Compassionate engagement, it professes a concern for the souls of all humankind, for the struggles that we face, the economic conditions that we sometimes find ourselves in, the social conditions that can sometimes be crippling to those that are on the margin. We're to be marked by this convictional compassion, laboring for the glory of God and the good of others, just as Christ did when he walked on this earth. The scripture says, when Jesus saw the crowds, he was moved with compassion. The Greek word that we find in this passage, this idea of compassion, it refers to a deep emotional feeling located in the bowels or the guts of an individual. And then they're so deeply moved from their bowels or guts that they have to act. They have to do something about it to alleviate the suffering. Are we that compassionate? Jesus was moved to compassion when he saw the sick, the blind, those gripped by demons, when he saw the hungry crowd of 4,000, and then again when he saw 5,000. Compassionate people, they don't threaten others. They don't act superior. They don't judge. They don't use words to break each other down, to destroy spirits. Compassionate people, instead, they act with a deep concern, this gut kind of movement. Intentionality in love. Compassion means that we look for Jesus in everyone that we encounter on the street. When we do these things, we might find that the people that we encounter are more attracted to the gospel of grace. And when we do this, we live up to what we say, we preach and live. How are we doing as faithful disciples, moved with deep compassion in our gut for those that we encounter? I find there are plenty of people in the church who are willing to do church work. Church work in order to keep the church running smoothly. But I wonder if all of us faithful disciples gathered here today are willing to commit a little more deeply to being more compassionate, to be moved to help people know and experience Jesus Christ for themselves. I confess, I would love to stand here and say to you today that I am a compassionate person. After all, it's my job. You sort of pay me to be compassionate in the world. But if you knew me deep down inside, you might discover that compassion is not one of my spiritual gifts. It's not my strong suit. It doesn't come naturally to me. I consciously have to work at being a compassionate person. By nature, I'm somewhat snarky. And I have a tendency to speak whatever snarky word comes into my mind. And most of the time, it's not compassion-filled. I might even say that I am sometimes one of those people that does get up, caught up in all of the church work. And in order to keep the church running smoothly like a well-oiled machine, that's what I love to do. But I'm pretty sure that's not what Christ intended for me. I see a lot of people that have a lot of needs when they come through this door. They want me to pay their rent, their utilities. They want me to fix their problems. And one particular person that I encountered this last month in February convicted me deeply of my lack of compassion for her. She came because she had heard that we help people here with Coppell Cares, a ministry that we have. She had lost her job, and she had two young children. And this is a very common story that I see a week after week. She found herself, after 10 months of being unemployed, losing her home. Then she lost her car, and all the stability that she knew in her life was gone. So I began my list of questions, working through, trying to figure out what is her greatest need and how can we help her in her situation. I found my mind began to wander as she began to tell me her story. It's a story that I've heard a lot of, that I confess. And I began to form my own answers as she continued to speak. And I admit that I switched off the off button in my brain because her story was just like everybody else's. She had this transient life now, going from hotel to hotel, friend to friend, room to room, wherever she could find a place with her two children. I looked at her after a while, and I must confess, I said,
You know, if you'll just get a job, you wouldn't be in this situation. But you see, it's actually not that easy for her in her circumstance. I wasn't fully listening to her. I wasn't fully giving her attention to communicate understanding to what she was trying to share with me in that moment. I certainly wasn't fully present with her. I held on to the preoccupations in my mind, and I didn't immerse myself in her here, in her now, in her present. It was easy for me to look at her, to judge her, and simply say, you know, just get a job, and that'll help you tremendously. She looked back at me, and she smiled. She said, I have a master's degree. I have worked hard. Don't you think if it were that simple for me to get a job, I would have already done that? My own biases, my own prejudices, they gave me a tunnel vision. I forgot to give careful attention to what was going on in her world and her way of things. In that moment, I was convicted and reminded that the participation in the kingdom of God requires that we share with others the same kind of compassion that we get to receive from God. That we be humble enough to receive care from unlikely neighbors in return. In that moment, she convicted me. She had friends and family who were helping her. It just wasn't enough. She'd exhausted her resources for 10 months being unemployed. And simply getting a job, it wasn't going to happen. Because she had no real address. She really didn't have a phone number so someone could call her back. We seldom become more compassionate without working at it. And I confess, I need a lot of work. Compassion, it comes as a grace-soaked gift to those who intentionally, consciously, and regularly place themselves before God. I forgot to do that. Without a doubt, my greatest shortcomings have come through failures in loving well. I forget that compassion means to suffer with, to walk along with. Certainly didn't do it in that woman's case in that moment. I definitely did not look at that woman as Jesus looks at her. I failed. She even asked me, is God punishing me for something that I did and I just can't see it? We're all called to be disciples of Jesus, and as such, we become the hands, feet, legs, and compassionate hearts of Jesus in this world. Jesus gets work done today through each one of us who are gathered here, who are committed to being compassionate people, looking through the eyes of love at people who aren't quite like us, and saying, I see you today. At the pastor's retreat in the fall, we were challenged to grow in how we approach people and greeting everyone. You did it today. It's good to see you today. From everyone we know to the strangers that we encounter on the street, we were challenged to greet everyone and say, it's good to see you today. Now, I don't know about you, but I think it's strange to walk up to someone who I don't know and say, hey, I'm Martha. It's really good to see you today. But I'm slowly discovering that we really don't see each other very well. I didn't see that woman that day, I admit it. I didn't see her the way Jesus sees her. But I've been experimenting a little bit with this greeting in this way of approaching people. And I'm discovering in that I encounter people in a different way when I do. When I come up to someone who is a stranger and I say, it's really good to see you today, I found that they begin to stare at me, number one, instead of avoiding my eyes. But they almost always share something about themselves. many will say thank you. And this last week, when I was in the grocery store, and I greeted someone who was trying to reach something off the top shelf, and I'm short too, so I just decided I was going to climb the shelf and knock it off. I said, "It's really good to see you today." And the woman looked back at me and she said, "Man, it's really good to be seen." Sometimes life is lonely. We sometimes pass people by. We need to be reminded that it's good to see each other. To see each other the way Jesus sees us. That's compassion, my friends. We can be agents of healing when we become people of compassion as Jesus held this extreme kind of compassion for those that he encountered. God is real. God comes alive in powerful ways through you and through me when we embody this attitude of compassion. A simple phrase like, "It's good to see you today," it's a game changer. When we are bold to go to people who have a real heartfelt need for God and to acknowledge that we see Jesus in them, we see them through the eyes of love, it makes a difference. So I challenge you, find somebody this week that you don't know and look at them in the eyes and say, "It's really good to see you." You might be surprised at what comes back. This compassion, this deep filled, this gut feeling of love for those that hurt, and then we want to do something about it. It transforms this world one person at a time. See, Jesus, he knew that you reach people this way. Can the Jesus in each one of us here today see the Jesus in those that we encounter on the street, in our jobs, in our families, in the strangers that we make eye contact with? The woman in my office, she confessed. What she really needed from me, what her really top need was, compassion. She needed me to sit in silence before words or actions. She needed me to sit and hold her hand and offer assurance that God still loved her and she didn't do anything. It can be found in the moments that I choose to stay present and truly listen to the heart cry. So maybe on this day, when we come to the table of grace, that we might once again recommit to practice the radical compassion, so that we see Jesus in everyone that we meet, so that we develop empathy in a new way with a strong desire to alleviate the suffering in this world. Maybe on this day we should come to this table to receive the bread and the cup full of gratitude once again, ready to commit to be an example of this compassionate, loving kindness in action, my friends. The Jesus in me loves the Jesus in you. That's what compassion is. The Jesus in me loves the Jesus in you. The Jesus in me loves the Jesus in you. So easy, so easy, so easy, so easy to love. If you believe that, I invite you to sing. The Jesus in me loves the Jesus in you. The Jesus in me loves the Jesus in you. So easy. True compassion is more than paying the rent of the lady that found herself bouncing from place to place. Compassion is simply being present with her in the moment. I hope that's what we do, my friends. And all God's children said. Mm-hmm.